Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
This morning we're talking about children's ministry. And we wanted to kind of couple that in such a beautiful way with this imagery of baptism. Because baptism is a covenant relationship that exists between the church, the family, the parents, and the church, the body of Christ. It's a relationship that we work together to raise the child in a healthy environment. And in our children's ministry, we're talking about how do we raise healthy children? How do we do that? So often in our society, we will focus on one aspect of that. Maybe we'll focus on academics and make sure that they get all of the degrees possible. Maybe they rise up in a company or a corporation, but they sacrifice sometimes their health and their spiritual wellness. Or maybe we'll focus, especially in our culture, we're going to focus on the physical, on sports and doing well physically, but we sacrifice their character and their future. For those kids that don't make the cut, how do we deal with that? And the recognition that in our church that we want to celebrate our children. And I want to ask the question, the thing that kind of prompted a lot of my thought this week is the idea of, can we really call ourselves a church without the presence of children? The church is synonymous with raising up and developing the next generation, of celebrating what we have. And what we find in the scriptures is that Jesus, in Luke's gospel this morning, Jesus spoke specifically about the importance of children as we raise them up. And so today, I'm going to challenge you, each and every one of you, by virtue of being part of this congregation, to pick up your role, your piece in that story of growing our children, doing all that we can. And there's parts of this that you can do and that I'm inviting you, we must do. Jesus spoke about the importance of children to the church and to our own faith development. We're going to look at a passage that you know so well from Luke chapter 18, and I invite you to allow it to speak to you about your own spiritual development. Will you join with me as we share what is on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Now, in this passage that you know from Luke 18, Jesus is speaking to two different events, not two separate moments in time, but two groups of people. And I want you to listen to how he lays this out, because he's speaking to you sitting in the pew this morning. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they began to rebuke them. But Jesus called children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, may your spirit speak to each and every one of us. May it stir the souls within. May it rise up with inspiration, and may it give birth to new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is surrounded and going on his ministry, and people are bringing children to him. And like a lot of cultures, the disciples start saying to Jesus, "Children should be seen and not heard." You've heard that before, haven't you? And Jesus will have none of it, because he's saying something. He's saying there's something that you have to get from them that you can only understand from them. He said, let the little children come to me, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Not just these, but such as these. But then he goes on to say something he says, truly I tell you, if you will not accept the kingdom as a small child, you'll never enter it. Jesus is telling us, if you will not understand the kingdom as this child, you will not grasp the reality. So if you've ever been in a church and somebody says, you know, children should be seen and not heard, then maybe the kingdom that you will eventually discover for yourself is a kingdom where you will be seen and not heard. And Jesus wants more for us. He wants us to discover the fullness of what the kingdom is about. So what I want to understand is, children's ministry is not just for parents with kids. Each and every one of you have something to learn from children's ministry. The first thing that you have to learn from children is the power of faith. The real power of faith, the ability of church community, the covenant relationship that we enter into, the power it has to shape characters and lives. To take this image, I love this image of this little baby. And the image that we had this morning with baptism, of an innocent child that's just beginning its journey of life. Excited. You look at that image and you get that sense of joyfulness, of playfulness, of excitement about the future. And we say, in a faith community, it molds and shapes our character. Until you begin to engage in children's lives, you don't understand the full impact that faith has. The second thing that we recognize is the spirit of growing. Children love to learn. They love to explore. You notice that children sometimes are so excited to do different things, to try new things. I hope I don't step on anybody's toes, but yesterday I got to see Tyler do a nice little dance. And yet, how many of us adults backed away because we might look foolish? We would be embarrassed. How many of you have talents that are hidden because people might think less of you if it wasn't perfect? You have to learn from children the joy of growing, of experiencing. There's something that happens as we grow old that we kind of get a little crusty and we don't like to share because of what people might think. In a children's life, we're joyful. We want to share our talents and our gifts. We love the Spirit of God that wants to grow as an adventure of life. You get that from children. And finally, we learn the truth about us. One of the things that happens is we grow older, we kind of get set in our ways, and we kind of get a little bit of status, we get a little bit of position. But before a holy and righteous God, we're children. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care what your status used to be. You're still an infant before the holy and righteous God. And when we see children that have that sense of humility, or the sense of acceptance, we understand who we are before God. We understand that. And until we can do that, until we can understand the power of faith to change our lives, until we understand the spirit that says, grow, explore your life, understand the meaning of life, and until we can understand that we are children before God who loves us unconditionally, we will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. We will enter something less. And so we celebrate what children's ministry is all about. So we want to talk this morning. For the last couple of weeks, we've had this suit of armor over here to kind of give a metaphor for what children are going through. How do we set the stage for what we can do in children's life? And we began to think about this idea of chivalry. But in the fairy tales, the knight is always going to storm a castle or fight that dragon that is terrorizing the community. So we began to think about that in terms of what it is. And we came up with this image of a child's life is about becoming. It's about growing. It's about learning the skills necessary to take on the world. It's a knight's quest. And we talked about, even in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes, put on the full armor of God, the righteousness of his word, the truth of his word, and righteousness of God, holiness. We began to think about that and said, there's something that we need to take on. We need to recognize that I think most parents have forgotten. And I think we need to pay attention to this. And it came clear in this quote by G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton writes, the more truly we can see life as a fairy tale, the more clearly the tale resolves itself into a war with the dragon who is wasting fairyland. Here's what I think most of us are forgetting. When our children reach those wonderful adolescent teenage years, and you know what I'm talking about, there is a dragon that is waiting for them. We can write it off, say, no, it's culture, it's just the way things are. There is a dragon that is waiting for them. The dragon is real. There is a real dragon, and maybe you see glimpses of it when you go past the checkout counter and you look at all the magazines that tell young girls what they ought to look like. Or maybe you'll see a little hint of the dragon's tail as you turn on the television and you see all of the things from American Eagle that they ought to buy, or all of the superstars that they ought to be following. You'll get glimpses of them. It was Carl Jung, the Swiss psychologist, that once said, the world is going to ask you just once who you are. And if you don't know, the world will tell you who you are. And what I find over and over and over again is we deny the reality that the dragon is there. And we just give our child over to a culture that will begin to tell them who they are. Our children's ministry is about telling them who they are in God's kingdom, to give them the tools and the armor to make the right choices. And so the dragon is going to feed on a couple of important things. The dragon is going to feed on fear. Children that end up not having any self-confidence will face the uncertainty of friends and high school and all of the turmoil of whether they're acceptable and whether they're lovable, whether they've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you know what that's all about. The dragon is looking for fear, uncertainty. We want to give that sense of identity, but we need to partner with you, the church. There will be a confusion about identity, about values, and about who they really are. That sense of what is it that makes you, you? What has God created you to be? If you forget what that is, then anybody's story will sound plausible. You'll take everything that happens. There's a sense of fear and loneliness and rejection that comes with those turmoil years, that you're not worthy, you're not lovable, you're not as athletic as everybody else, you're not as smart as everybody else. And the dragon is speaking into their lives. It was John Wesley, as he was going around England and preaching, he said, if we don't get our people together to encourage and inspire one another to stay together, all we're really doing is birthing Christians for the murderer. They don't have the strength to stand up against the onslaught that is coming. And this is what drives me crazy, is we see this onslaught that's going to happen when they reach those teen years, when peer pressure begins to mount, and they don't have the skills or the resources to stand up against it. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, I met with a young girl who came to the church this week needing some help with her finances. She needed some help with rent. She needed like $50 to pay off her rent for her and her two kids. So she came in and I spoke to her for a while. And I said, I saw the names. I said, well, how old are your kids? And she said, well, they're 5 and they're 8. I said, 8? I said, you look way too young to have an 8-year-old. She said, oh, I had him when I was 13. And then I had the other one, years later. She said, when I was 4 months away from graduating, I dropped out of school because my boyfriend thought it was interfering with our relationship. She didn't have the tools or the skills or the resources. And to the best of our ability to make that difference, we as a church must make that a priority, or we don't deserve to be a church anymore. And the question that I want to ask is whether you will fight with us against the strength of this dragon. Because what do you find in our culture? If we don't provide that, they will follow things like hero worship. All you have to do is put something that has LeBron James or Michael Jordan on it. People will line up out the door to try and get it, because they will always worship something. Or maybe they'll worship the peer group. If the peers jump off the bridge, so will they. They need a place to belong, a place to call home, so that even if they struggle on the outside, they have a place that identifies them and welcomes them as one of their own. So what can we do? If I were to give our kids, these are the things that I would like to focus on. For the last couple of weeks, we've been showing you little video clips from children's ministry that shows how we're going to lay this out. But if I were to give our kids the tools necessary to survive those teen years, here's what I would like them to have. The first thing that I would like them to have is I want them to be prepared. I want them to be prepared. I want them to have the wisdom to make right choices, the ability to know what is right and what is wrong, the biblical foundation to know when they're going too far, the ability to know that God has a story for them, the ability to think beyond just what is effective now, but how will this affect them in the future? That is the true sign of maturity, the true sign of wisdom. Chesterton once said that if we decide not to worship, it isn't that we worship nothing, we worship everything. Everything becomes valuable, and we become whatever the trends are hot that time this week. For example, I saw this week that the iPhone, they're coming out with a brand new iPhone. Have you seen it? It's now going to be gold colored, so that when you go around and you pull out your iPhone, you'll have a gold-toned iPhone. It's like the hottest thing right now. The fads and the fashions will dominate. And what we need to do is take our children and say there's something that's more valuable. Our values, things that really matter, about making good choices about who you are and who you're going to become. And so, if you will, go to the next slide. These are the things that they're going to focus on. These are the values and the character strengths they want to pour into your children. They want to give them a sense of acceptance, a sense of attentiveness, of being contented, of faithfulness and generosity, of joy and obedience, of self-control and of truth. Now, it isn't just that these are good church words and that'll make them look really good in church. It's so that they play it out at home. And we're going to ask them things like, how did you live this out at home? Can you give us an example of how you've done that? And we're going to reward them. We're going to celebrate as they begin to acquire those skills that are necessary as a knight to take on the power of the dragon. The first thing that I want them to do is have the wisdom to make right choices. The second thing that I want them to give is a sense of confidence. One of the first things that happens when children come to any new environment is, I can't do it. I can't survive high school. I can't survive college. I can't. I want to create an environment. I'd love to create an environment of people that are looking at, we have several people in our congregation that love newspapers. They pour through the newspapers. And as they do, have them circle the names of all of the children that they see, so that on a Sunday morning we can celebrate. Look at what they're doing in academics and in sports, in other activities. Look at the awards that they're doing. This is a place where they belong, so that they can have a sense of confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I want to give them a sense of faith, that I can trust God no matter what. That confidence that no matter what happens, God is with them. No matter what they'll face at school or what they'll face on the field, God is with them. They have a sense of confidence and a sense of identity. One of the things that happened that was very strange this week that really drove this home to me. Some of you know that in my free time, I referee some soccer games. And I refereed a very high soccer game with PHS and with Charleston Catholic. Two very high level games, very excellent student athletes, the seniors, the adults, I mean, the seniors of the school, very, you know, the best student athletes, kids that have been playing soccer forever. I was shocked by the language that was coming out of those young men. And I told several of them, if this had been it was a scrimmage, if it had been a regular game, half of you would have been gone. People call it, I mean, from these athletes. And so the point is they had so focused on winning the sport that they had lost their character. They'd lost their identity of what it really meant to be an adult. We want our kids, I think, to be able to make right choices and have the confidence to stand by and know that God has a plan for them, that God has a plan for them. And finally, I want them to focus on making good relationships, healthy relationships. You can go to the next one. Thank you. How do we interact? How do they interact socially with one another? How do they learn how to be gentle to one another? How do they learn to be forgiving and filled with grace? How do they learn to develop those friendships? And so our friendships are based on we treat others the way we want to be treated, the golden rule. How do we treat one another? How do we learn the skills of forgiving? And how do we forgive brother and sister at home? And how do we help in our community? We want them to make wise choices. We want them to have the confidence that God has a calling and a purpose, that there's a place where they belong, and that they know how to have good, solid friendships. Because the reality is, they're going to be surrounded by a lot of negativity. They're going to be surrounded by things like fear and worries, despair, I can't. Sometimes they're not going to be picked for the star place in the football team, or they're not going to do very well on a test. We have to help them find the ability to have confidence in themselves. But here's the bottom line, that no matter how good this program is, it ultimately depends on you. If we become part-time Christians, they'll become part-time Christians. If we become part-time parents, they'll be part-time parents. Whatever we pour into their lives is what they're going to get out of it. We have to make that commitment that they're going to be the most valuable thing in our lives. That God has called us to this place and this time to elevate the children, whether it's the children that are sitting here or it's Riley Pena, that as he grows, we're going to make a commitment to help him grow. And that means all of you. That means when you see a child, you embrace them, we're glad that you're here. You're important to us. If you're an usher or a greeter, you grab a child and say, hey, would you help me do this? They become part of our church. When you see something in the newspaper, you reach out to them, and we're glad that you won that award. We're so proud of you, because there's going to be negativity that's going to come their way. We want to counteract that with the faith that's going to sustain them. I think children's ministry has done a phenomenal job. You should be immensely proud of what they've put together for our parents and for our entire church. But they lay that before you as a gift. Whether you choose to use it or not is entirely up to you. God has called us to reach out to them. Now it is up to us to stand up and say they are the most important thing God has given to us. It is a trust. It is an invitation. And they will inevitably teach us something about ourselves. Let us pray. Father God, surround us as a community. Reach out, bless us that we can bless them. Father, we thank you for all the children that are part of our household of faith. Father, they are under our protection, and they are under our blessing of grace. May we be worthy of these children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.